Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Thursday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Good, bad, and crazy martinis for conservatives today, as usual. We start with the good, and once again, we're talking about Hillary Clinton. And Jim, for folks who didn't hear yesterday's Three Martini Lunch, you can hear the detailed dissection of her press conference at the United Nations from Tuesday. One of the interesting things about this, as we've also discussed over the past few days, is how few Democrats are leaping to Hillary Clinton's defense, although there have been a couple more since that appearance at the UN. One of the most interesting reporters to watch in all of this is Ron Fornia, now of the National Journal. He was with the Associated Press for many years, actually came to Washington with the Clintons after he was elected president. He had been a reporter down there in Arkansas, and for the most part, he's a fair reporter and seems to be probably leaning a little bit to the left on most issues. For example, this week he was also very hard on the 47 Republican senators who sent the letter to the Iranian leadership. But this week he's been very clear about why he thinks this is a really big problem for Hillary. Even before the press conference, speaking with MSNBC, these two clips show that he doesn't think that Hillary Clinton's going to be able to pin the blame for this on anybody else.
You can't spin your way out of this. You can't intimidate your way out of this. You can't demagogue the media and blame the Republicans your way out of this. This is a problem she created. What dawned on me this weekend was these two stories are connected. And they're not connected because Republicans have connected them. They're not connected because Mika and Joe have connected them or because I have. It's because of Hillary Clinton's actions, and only her actions can disconnect them. She can release the server that has all her emails on it. That's our server, not hers. And she can have the foundation return all foreign donations.
And Jim, I'm sure you're watching the Twitter feed during Hillary's press conference on Tuesday. Interestingly, Fournier said, this is embarrassing, sad even, and he kept hammering the point about that's our server, not hers. So good to see somebody pretty well respected in Washington who's definitely not identified with the right holding the Clintons' feet to the fire here.
Yeah, we never know exactly what the future is going to hold. And as conservatives, there's going to be a lot of cases where we're going to see media coverage of Hillary Clinton or other Democrats that seems too soft. Having said that, it does seem that we're not going to get a rerun of the 2008 coverage for Barack Obama. There were certain points where the coverage of her in the 2008 Democratic primary, as soon as she became the less liberal option, you know, she became the villain in the story, and the coverage of her got tougher. I think another good example of that today is the Time magazine cover, which decided is really kind of a fascinating way of framing it, in which they say, you know, she's on the cover. It's her in silhouette. And the title is The Clinton Way. They write their own rules. Will it work this time? That's a cover piece by David Von Driel. You know, that's a really soft way of saying, Greg, when they write their own rules, is that they don't obey the ones that are written down. They don't follow the ones that all the rest of us do. And that's a very kind way of putting it, but ultimately, that's by calling them lawbreakers. And so look, it's early in the process, kind of, you know, piggybacking on the point we said yesterday about just how terrible she was, I think the media is recognizing that the usual lines of, well, aren't Republicans overreaching, you know, and all the other usual spin techniques, they're just not buying them this time. And I think it's because they recognize the seriousness of this. The most interesting angle here, I think, is security. I think you can very seriously make the case that Hillary Clinton, by choosing to use this private email server, may have risked exposing President Obama's emails to her. And from that, they wouldn't necessarily have access to all the president's emails, but certainly some. And you got to figure that Obama emails to Hillary would have something sensitive or kind of important in it. So you look at that, and like, you don't have to be a Republican to be really upset about this. You can be a loyal Obama Democrat and be upset by this, which I think may explain a bit of the tougher press coverage. It works better for us, and it kind of hurts this attempt on the part of Hillary to insist, no, she's all on the up and up, and this is all, you know, the Carville David Brock spin, that this is all just crazy right-wingers who are complaining about this.
All right, on to the bad martini now. And next week, the U.S. Senate is expected to vote on the Attorney General nomination of Loretta Lynch, assuming she is confirmed, which at this point seems fairly likely. She will be in and Eric Holder will be out. One of the final things Holder did as Attorney General was release the report on Ferguson, I think it was a couple of weeks ago now. Two parts. First of all, Darren Wilson cleared. He will face no federal charges. But a pretty scathing report of the Ferguson Police Department allegedly having a pattern of racial bias towards minorities. And so a number of things have happened in the wake of that. Yesterday, the police chief announced that he was resigning. That led to demonstrations outside of the Ferguson police station. And as a result of those protests escalating, two officers who are not apparently Ferguson police officers were shot. They're expected to live, but their injuries are considered fairly serious. And so obviously this morning people are wondering just exactly where responsibility lies here. Jim, ultimately it belongs to the person who fired the shots, but a situation that's been brewing and festering for months just doesn't seem to be getting any better here.
Yeah, there was a kind of debate about whether this is what the media wanted to see. This is what the Democrats wanted to see. That might be kind of hyperbolic, but it looked like we were calming down from this after that awful, abominable shooting of police officers up in New York City, that things were calming, and that has not been calmed at all. And it just looks like there's going to be another circle of people claiming that this was some sort of pouring gasoline onto the fire, that this is a demonization of police forces. There are indisputably crazy people in this world who just want to kill people. When you start demonizing the police in such vociferous terms, you start wondering, does that take somebody who already hates the police and they kind of makes them feel that they're justified, that they're not being psychopaths. They're just striking a blow for their community and they're standing up against oppression or something like that. And when you see something like the Darren Wilson narrative turn out to not be true at all, it's kind of frustrating to see something turn out, with another example of bloodshed, being absolutely senseless. It's rather irksome and bothersome, and you just, feel like we're going through this all over again.
Very disappointing and discouraging, and for that whole community, just not sure what's going to come next. But onto the crazy martini now, Jim, and of course, most of the polls show Jeb Bush and Scott Walker as heading the pack on the Republican side for 2016, but don't count out Lindsey Graham. He's already set up his exploratory committee. He was just up in Concord, New Hampshire, speaking before the Concord City Republican Committee, and he was talking about the need to crank up military spending. Sequestration that is still affecting military spending is very harmful. And then hat tip to BenSwan.com. This is what Graham said, quote, "Here's the first thing I would do if I were president of the United States. I wouldn't let Congress leave town until we fix this. I would literally use the military to keep them in if I had to. We're not leaving town until we restore these defense cuts. We're not leaving town until we restore the intel cuts." His office later said he was employing over-the-top humor in an attempt to connect with his audience, Jim, but that's not the type of thing that usually makes you laugh too much.
Yeah, here's the thing. Anybody else makes that joke, and we're absolutely certain they're joking. Lindsey Graham does is like, you're joking, right, Senator? Right? Okay. Maybe he's, maybe this is a bit of self-mockery. We should probably give Lindsey Graham a little bit of credit for parodying what seems like his reflexive instinct of sending the troops everywhere. Look, in an era where a majority of Democrats believe that Barack Obama should be able to defy the Supreme Court if it's important enough, and 200,000 people signed a petition demanding the arrest of 47 senators for treason for signing an open letter to to the Iranian leaders. On the one hand, this is fair game and not meant to be taken too seriously. But in an era of like unbelievably poor understanding of the Constitution and traditional checks and balances and how things are going to work, there are probably some people who will take Lindsey Graham seriously. My one would be on like Vox.com or something like that, and then say, aha, Republicans want to launch a military coup, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, the key word there, Joe Biden's applauding because he used the word literally.
So. Ah, there you go. Exactly. That's right. You realize somebody made a really good point that every time Joe Biden uses the term literally, he actually means figuratively.
Yeah.
Right? And this is more or less like, we were literally on fire yesterday. No, you weren't. Unless someone came running to you with a fire extinguisher, you were not literally on fire, And so I could quite say that Joe Biden literally does not understand what the word literally means.
Oh, I wish I had the clip from The Princess Bride because it would be perfect right now. You keep there using you that word. I don't think it means what you think it means. But
That phrase comes in so handy in Washington.
It does. Jim, have a good day. Talk to you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow, Greg.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Thanks for being with us today. And be sure to tune in on Friday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.